But we start this evening with Deadwood, first aired in 2006. The TV series of this Western tale, Deadwood, ran for three seasons, during which it became one of the most critically acclaimed television programmes of its era. Created by the veteran producer and writer David Milch, it became a cornerstone of the HBO slate at that time. Now, HBO and Sky Atlantic have brought back David Milch to write Deadwood, the movie, which will be available to audiences across the world this weekend. Carl Austin himself, a TV writer, is here to tell us why he regards David Milch as one of his writing heroes and why the series Deadwood represented the master writer at the peak of his powers. I say it's a Western series, which is, even saying that about it is misleading, because this is a Western as you've never seen it, really, I think. It's safe to say, Carl?
I'd have to agree with that, yeah. It's Milch, he's one of the geniuses of Milch is the way that he uses genre.
Let's just say, Milch, I probably should have said this in my introduction. Milch, Hill Street Blues.
Hill Street Blues.
That's that covered, but we'll come back to it.
Hill Street Blues. is that he uses genres like cop shows and Westerns to look at much deeper things. You know, I mean, like, I've read interviews with him for Deadwood where he basically, well, I mean, an interview with David Milch can go on for about 45 minutes before you figure out exactly what he's trying to say. But it kind of, you know, boiled down to he was looking at the idea of, you know, how a community is affected when you take away things like law and religion and basically, you know, rules, and how a community can be created in that kind of atmosphere.
Well, if you're saying that an interview with David Milch can go on for 45 minutes before we know what he's saying, what about an episode of a TV series by David Milch?
Is it
clearer, or are we equally in a world where you have to be patient, you have to follow the threads of what's happening, particularly in Deadwood?
It's a little bit of both. Deadwood, particularly in the first series, I started Deadwood. And I was like, it took me a while to get through the first three episodes, I have to admit. But once again, that's the same thing that happened to me with The Wire. And it's one of those shows that where patience pays off, you know? And I don't want to give any spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen Deadwood. But you get in the fourth episode, something massive happens. And it makes you, and you literally sit up in your chair and you go,
It was Game of Thrones type of big, that type of thing in terms of things happening.
Exactly.
But let us talk about, I suppose, I know you're wary about giving any spoilers to people who haven't seen it, and we are only talking, three seasons in total, so you could watch it in a couple of binges, if you like.
Oh, yeah.
The Ian McShane character, how would you explain... Not Ian McShane, but that character.
Al Swearengen, or Swedgen, as he's referred to.
The swear at the beginning of his name is very apt. Swearengen.
He's exactly what it says on the tin. It's, when I watched the show the first time, I watched it with my missus and some other friends, and I can't remember who it was to describe it this way, but they described it as profane Shakespeare. And that character in particular is like his whole monologues. He's all about the monologues, and and every other word happens to be a word that you can't say in polite company.
Yeah, it's a profanity of some kind.
Yeah, but it sounds like poetry.
But why is it? Because we will listen to a clip where, you know, isn't a bad one actually in terms of cleanliness. But why do you think that it's profanity that has a Shakespearean quality? Because that's, you know, that's kind of pushing it, is it?
I don't think so. I think it's in the words themselves.
Right.
It's like, I mean, the thing about Milch is, even though you have all this profanity in the dialogue, there's not a single wasted word in any of those lines. And it's like, I mean, when you listen to it, you have to listen to it to understand what I mean by that. There's a beauty in the way David Milch writes profanity.
Right.
That kind of the way that David Mamet would have done it back in the 70s and 80s on stage.
Right.
But Milch manages to take it to this whole different place where it's almost, and I hate even using it, it's almost like metaphysical the way he manages to just spin the words, and he makes me jealous. Is just, what he does.
Before I go to this clip, is Swearingen, is he an historical character, and are all the
is
Deadwood an historical place, or is it kind of renamed
Deadwood,
and reworked?
Deadwood is a historical place. It actually existed. Both the characters of Seth Bullock, the sheriff played by Timothy Oliphant, and Al Swearingen, Ian McShane's character, they're both based on actual real characters. Now, the actual actions of the characters in the show. Most of it is dramatized, but they were actual real people living in the camp, because it wasn't a town yet at the time. It was a mining camp of Deadwood.
Yeah, so Albert Walter Merrick was an American journalist, and
yes,
he did publish the first newspaper in Deadwood.
He absolutely did.
He is the character that we're going to hear in this clip, alongside the aforementioned Al Swearingen. We've mentioned it already. It's there in his name. I don't know how many times you used the term profanity in the last 7 minutes. I'd say quite a bit. So that's what you're going to get.
Be prepared.
In this clip.
You ever been beaten, Merrick?
Once, when I thought I had the smallpox, Doc Cochran slapped me in the face.
Stop it, Al.
Are you dead?
Well, I'm in pain, but no, I'm obviously not dead.
And obviously you didn't fucking die when the doc slapped you.
No.
So, including last night, that's three fucking damage incidents that didn't kill you. Pain or damage don't end the world, or despair, or fucking beatings. The world ends when you're dead. Until then, you got more punishment in store. Stand it like a man and give some back.
And there we had Ian McShane as Al Swearingen, and it was Geoffrey Jones who was playing the part of the journalist and newspaper publisher Albert Walter Merrick. As I said, that probably was, you know, one of the cleaner sections.
That actually
of
was. I take my hat off to you for finding that.
Yeah, there you go. Now, quite interesting, and I have another clip up here from Hill Street Blues, because it does directly, it actually answers and talks to that clip in a peculiar type of way. Just what, because you said that Milch is one of your heroes, what did Hill Street Blues do back in the day for the cop show that possibly Deadwood did for the Western show?
Oh man, I don't even know if there's a way to even describe that succinctly, what Hill Street Blues did. Cop shows in America, in particular at the time, were throwaway candy. It was, you know, you get a case of the week, the cops solve it in an hour, that's the end. Next week, they're onto a different thing, and nothing that happened the week before has any bearing on what happens in the next episode.
Yeah, so they were standalone, and you could just watch an episode.
Anybody could watch any episode out of order. It didn't matter. So it wasn't... I mean, it was storytelling, but not serialized storytelling. And Hill Street Blues, I mean, at least I think it was, I believe it was the first serialized cop show where from the end of one episode into the next, things carried over. There were consequences to the characters' actions. I still remember watching Hill Street Blues with my mother when it went out the first night, having no idea what it was. And the... Well, look, if you haven't seen this by now, I can't help you. But the ending of the pilot episode of Hill Street Blues, where the two cops who we followed through the whole series, they're kind of like the comic relief. You love them. They're murdered at the end of the first episode.
So even back then, David Milch was doing things that others just weren't doing. Now, to show that he doesn't always need profanities to make his point, let's have a listen to a clip from Hill Street Blues. And it all started off with the desk sergeant kind of saying,
Sergeant Esterhaus,
here's what's happening around the place, and be careful. What was the famous? Well, hear the famous last line just before he goes out.
Be careful out there.
Be careful out there. So, does David Milch always need profanities? Answer, speak for yourself, David.
Item 9 is a memo from Chief Daniels regarding profanity in our dealings with the civilian populace. People, I recognize downtown's tendency to be unrealistic in these matters, but consider a complaint I took yesterday from an elderly woman who had been rendered assistance with a stalled vehicle by one of our uniforms. It was one of our own, going the extra mile in the performance of his duty, yet he was so accustomed to certain patterns of speech that on arriving at the scene, he cheerfully inquired, and I quote, "So what the bleep's wrong with your car?" Said bleep allegedly causing the plane a severe episode of migraine. Now, I'm assemble some terms you might try substituting for the swear words in question. Now, they won't come trippingly to your tongue at first, but with time and usage, you could find them becoming second nature. Your recourse to obscenity will then be fresh and vital when you encounter those situations and individuals for whom only obscenity will suffice. Now, the officer in question could have used the word heck. Under more suitable terms, draft, shoot, fudge. Instead of the more common expletive usually associated with your street patois. Hey, let's be careful out there. And people, let's show a little restraint in defacing the chief's memo.
There you go. He proves his point himself, doesn't he? Michael Conrad there as Sergeant Esterhaus in the Hill Street Blues. That was always the opening sequence, Carlos.
Always. Every episode opened
setting
with
out what
the
was,
roll call.
Yeah, what was going to happen, that particular day. The movie Deadwood then, why is it happening now? And there's a kind of a sadness attached to this as well.
Yeah, there is. If anyone's been reading lately, David Milch announced that he's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, which is a terrible thing. Especially, I mean, it broke my heart to hear it because, I mean, the man is, for my mind, a certified genius. And mm-hmm. part of the genius of David Milch is the way his mind works. There was a period in NYPD Blue, for instance, where David Milch actually didn't even write scripts down. He would just say them from his head verbatim, and there would be an assistant scribbling it down, and actors standing there being told what to say and how to say it and when to say it. And to even be able to do that and come up with something like NYPD Blue.
Well, that's Shakespearean.
Yeah.
He just handed them here's the scene.
Yeah, here you go.
And your cue sheet. Off you go.
Off you go.
And it will be the same, and particularly, I suppose, we need Ian McShane. But it will be the cast of the TV series, I presume, will it?
Oh, yes. No, it's the exact... Everyone came back. Apparently every single actor said yes. There was one person who was considering a holding out, but he was talked around and they got everybody.
And do we know who that was?
Yes, we do.
Can we say who that was?
It was Timothy Oliphant. He said it himself.
He said it himself. All right. So he will be there along with Ian McShane and the other members of the cast. That's Carl Austin speaking to us about David Milch and Deadwood, the movie released today in the USA through HBO. It'll be available on Sky Atlantic in these parts from tomorrow.
From 2 a.m., actually, if you can stay up that late.
If you want to stay up to 2 a.m. tonight. All right, there you go.